You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Vargas? We don't need no Vargas. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
I've always depended on the kindness. Strange.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Would you be shocked if I put on something more comfortable?
You know how to whistle, don't you, Steve? You just put your lips together and blow.
I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you could find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. You can even tell your Alexa to play it right now. I'll wait. Don't worry. And now that you've done that, and obviously if we're so amused and amazed by it, you can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you'll find links to not only our show, but our other shows like the Multiverse Fancast and MF Uncensored. You'll also find links to our reviews and our articles and our link to our brand new, well, not brand new anymore, Misfit Faction store, where you guys can find all sorts of Misfit swag. I actually just placed an order for myself, bought one of everything. Yeah, so that's coming this week. I'm psyched.
But, so Ronnie's got to pack all that. That's great.
Oh, yeah, one at a time. As always, I'm your host, Paul. With me in the studio today is Sean. Sean, how are you?
Hello there.
Okay, I walked into it, but you know, obviously that's not what I asked.
Was it, though?
I said, Sean, how are you? You said, hello there.
Yeah, because you just said my name. Hello there.
It's almost like we were expecting somebody to say hello there the entire show.
Yeah, I was beating you to the punch because we all know it was going to come from you at some point.
Hello there.
There you go.
Now my wife gets it, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she watched the whole show with me. But anyway, so we are finally talking Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Wow.
I keep calling it just Obi-Wan.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, but then I have to remember the Kenobi.
The Kenobi, because, you know, can't forget the Kenobi.
Well, it's funny because, you know, he couldn't forget the Kenobi too. Most wanted man in the galaxy. I'm going to change my first name. They'll never find me. And I'm going to stay on Anakin's home planet.
It's just like Clark Kent. Put the glasses on.
It's totally different.
Take the glasses
it's
off.
I hate you. But anyway, yes, we are going to be talking the... As of right now, limited series, Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yeah, limited series. It's obviously come out that both Ewan McGregor and I think much of the cast want to do another season.
Mm-hmm.
But surprisingly from like the higher, you know, the higher ups, they're not as, you know,
as keen
to that. So we'll see.
And we'll talk about it at the end of the episode, like what we would want for a season two. But before we jump into Obi-Wan Kenobi, which is one of the weirdest sentences I've ever said in my entire life, Sean, I believe you have some news.
Oh, yes, sir. We actually have some news for you guys this week. Number one, as anyone who follows us on Facebook will note that on our Adventures at Facebook page, we posted the new trailer for Hocus Pocus 2.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I'm intrigued.
I am intrigued as well. I want
it's
to see
Disney Plus.
Yep. So they got back the original Sanderson
original
sisters.
Original Sanderson sisters, even though the voice of the cat will not be the same actor.
Which is fine because Thackeray Binks, is it the same cat?
I don't even know.
Nobody knows.
But there was an article on IMDb said
that's
that
not Jason
it's not Jason Marsden as Thackeray Binks.
I always said Zach.
I know, me too.
Or just Binks. But that's interesting. You know, the trailer does not, it's a teaser. It does not show
it's an absolute teaser.
Too much. It gives us just a little flavor of what's to be expected. I'm curious to see if we're going to see any cameos from any of the original cast besides, obviously, the main Sanderson sisters.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'd hope we got, the zombie comes back.
Oh, Billy.
Billy. Yeah. That'd be cool.
He played by the same actor who played Abe Sapien in the Hellboy movies.
That's true.
Yeah.
Very true. So that was number one. So for anyone out there who has not seen it yet, you can get it on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Barbara Broccoli, the producer of the James Bond films, has come out and said that it's at least going to be another 2 years before we start filming a new James Bond film. We are in no rush to hire the new actor.
Mm-hmm.
And according to her, the new series is going to be a reinvention. So it's going to be male. You know, James Bond's going to be a male, and he's going to be British.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's
the only
know.
Thing.
That's all we know.
Could be African American. Could be, you know,
a Smurf.
Caucasian. We don't know. So they are really hush hush on this. My opinion, 2 years might even be too quick. Give it another couple years after that.
Yeah, especially considering the lukewarm reception that the last movie got.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw it. We did our whole James Bond month.
We did.
Which is a lot of fun. But yeah, it was just...
I think just a little time.
Little breather for the Bond franchise.
And if they go more than 2 years, I think that definitely takes Idris Elba out of the running. Because, I mean, he's got to be...
Yeah. He's up there.
He's up there. And unless you want to do like a one-off movie or a two-movie deal with him, fine. But
I'd rather have a nice, like a really young James Bond, even.
Even younger than Daniel Craig was.
How old was he when he did it? Was he in his 30s?
I think he was in his 40s when he started with Casino Royale. He didn't look it, but...
Yeah, yeah. I would not be mad if they cast like a 25, 26-year-old, like a really young...
Like right out of training and, you know, is and all that. But again, they did that with Daniel Craig. You saw his first kill, so it's tough. It's like, where do you want to go with this? Mm-hmm. He was 38.
Okay.
When he did Casino Royale.
Dang it. He was almost our age. And I have trouble going up the stairs. Damn. Wow.
Oh, that's funny.
Things in perspective. Woof.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Not a upsetting or news, but surprisingly, we haven't yet to see Lightyear, the new Disney Pixar movie out in theaters. And apparently it's not doing very well. And we're both kind of shocked by this. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, we have not seen the movie, so we can't really gauge an opinion on why the movie's not succeeding. But usually with Pixar, it's guaranteed, you know, 200 mil.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie's budget is that 200 mil, and it hasn't even hit its budget yet. And it's
been out for a few weeks now.
It's not like the competition is crazy. So, you know, interesting to see where that goes and really what comes out as the reason for why that movie's not doing well.
I blame you.
Oh, really?
It's because you and I did not go see it.
I blame Chris Evans.
I
don't know.
No, in all honesty, it's such a weird concept because apparently Lightyear is a movie that Andy saw as a kid.
Yeah.
And that's what inspired him to get a Buzz Lightyear action figure. So it's a movie inside of a movie.
It's going a little too...
Too far. Plus, we already got the Buzz Lightyear story we all wanted, and that was Buzz Lightyear of Star Command.
Never watched it.
Well, there was the made-for-TV pilot movie.
Pilot movie, and then there was a one-year, two-year show where
the pilot movie actually had Tim Allen, too. He did the voice.
Oh, he did. Didn't Patrick Warburton take over?
He took it over, and they actually redubbed it for the TV show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so crazy, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't that bad. I dug it. And I guess a lot of people are saying, like, the movie itself is actually very serious and very, like, you know...
Oh, it's gotta be.
But, you know, the pilot, like, the cartoon movie was, like, fun. And, like, it would make more sense for Andy to want a toy after watching that one as opposed to the one that's actually out in theaters right now.
Well, it's kind of like watching your Star Wars. I mean, you know, I guess that's what they're aiming at. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this was Andy's, you know, big movie as a kid. And that's why, you know, he asked his mom, I want this
Surprisingly progressive movie for 1995.
Well, again, yeah.
The movie inside the movie.
Oh, no, I've gone cross-eyed.
I've gone cross-eyed.
All right, and our last little bit of note, of course, Obi-Wan ended last week after the 6th episode aired on Disney+, but now it's coming out that apparently Obi-Wan was meant to be a film trilogy. Did you hear about this?
I didn't read the article, but I vaguely saw it.
Yeah, so again, it seems to be, you know, everybody seems to want to just blame Solo for every problem Star Wars has had in the movie business lately, and I'm like, okay, you want to go down that hill? Fine. I mean, Solo wasn't a piece of trash, it just wasn't that good.
Right.
And don't blame the actor, blame the script, blame the idea of it. But now you're telling me that you scrapped an entire trilogy of Obi-Wan just because that movie failed? Like, I can't figure out what Lucasfilm and Disney are doing with this franchise.
Nobody knows.
And where it's going to go, because they have, like, no hope for it. Like, I don't know what... if
it's because they need a new hope.
Oh.
See what I did there?
I did see what you did there. But obviously, we're going to be getting really in-depth on the Obi-Wan series next. So, you want to take a break, or...
You want to take a quick break, and then when we come back?
Break. That's pretty much it for the news. I really... Yeah, nothing more than that.
Would have been really awkward if we took a quick break, and then there was more news. No news is good news.
All right.
All right, we'll be right back. Hey, guys. Today's episode is brought to you by Raise Energy Drinks. Raise is a proud member of Rep Sports. And if you guys are looking for a little extra kick during your day, whether you need to tackle a workout or you need to get over that afternoon slump, you can always check out Raise Energy. And if you get the checkout and you enter the code CINEMATIC, not only will you be getting a 15% discount, but you'll also be supporting the network. So that's Raise Energy with Rep Sports. Code is CINEMATIC, C-I-N-E-M-A-T-I-C. All right, we are back. And
I got more news.
I hate you. No, save it for the next show. But we're very excited because I was super psyched for this show.
Me too.
I feel like, and for me, it didn't disappoint. Spoiler alert. Oh, dang it.
All right, we're done.
There's been some mixed reviews to it.
And there's been mixed fan reaction too.
Which is, all right, let's get this out of the way. We always say every Star Wars episode, the Star Wars fandom is one of the most hard to please fandoms in existence. Mm-hmm. There are very few. I think the only franchise that really comes close to this level of a potential divide is actually the James Bond franchise. And that's right up there with who your favorite Bond is, basically.
I might throw the Harry Potter franchise in that as well.
You really think Harry Potter?
Well, because I always laughed that people would bitch about what was cut out of the movies from the books. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, J.K. Rowling, does she have a problem with it? No? Okay,
well, let's not talk about what J.K. Rowling has problems with.
Okay, come on. You know what I mean.
You walked into that one.
I did walk into that one.
But for me, like, Star Wars is such a unique beast in that every... You watch the franchise, right? So we're going to call the franchise the 9 main movies, the 2 spinoff movies, Obi-Wan, The Mandalorian, et cetera, et cetera. They all have such different feels and vibes to them, especially the Disney era Star Wars.
Absolutely.
Now, you've not seen The Mandalorian.
I have not.
And you've not seen Boba Fett.
I've not. So I know the ending to Mandalorian, but I don't know Boba Fett's storyline.
Okay, that's... God, it sucks.
Well, right then.
It's weird, because Mandalorian, for me, nailed it. Like, hit it out of the park. It was fantastic from start to finish. The best episode of Boba Fett is the episode where the Mandalorian... It's basically a Mandalorian episode in Boba Fett. That's the best episode. It was very disappointing with all that, with Boba Fett, just because they neutered the character. But that's neither here nor there. So this is your first full Disney Plus Star Wars show that you've watched.
Yes.
Okay. What were your expectations going into it?
Well, my expectations were we would get a little bit of what happened to Obi-Wan, obviously, after he, you know, drops off Luke to Owen and Beru at the end of episode 3. Mm-hmm. And obviously before we see him in episode 4. I've never read any of the extended, you know...
Material.
Yeah. So I don't know what's out there in terms of, was there any storylines ever written for this time period?
There's so many.
And, I know. So I can't keep up.
Star Wars Rebels, some Obi-Wan stuff, and they actually have a confrontation between Obi-Wan and Darth Maul.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So I don't know any of that. So really what I was hoping for, I mean, again... You knew Hayden Christensen was cast, so you knew there was going to be an Obi-Wan Darth Vader, you know, confrontation, which I was like, awesome, great, because even though we do get it at the end of New Hope, and you
know, the very first lightsaber
dialogue,
fight.
You know, it's like, you know, last time I saw you, you know, I was but the learner, and now I am the master. Kind of.
That's the one line that really doesn't
work as much anymore. A lot of it doesn't work anymore because even Leia's message to Ben, you know, through R2 doesn't make sense because it's kind of like she never met him.
Mm.
You know, General Kenobi, I was told you served with my father during the Clone War.
Yeah, it fits, but it's not a perfect fit.
Yeah, it fits, doesn't perfect fit. Now, do I care if it's not a perfect fit? No. I understand you can't make it 100% puzzle piece. Mm-hmm. It's just not possible. Because, again, it's almost 50 years ago that George Lucas wrote this, so it's...
And the problem is, at the end of episode 3, you kind of wrote Obi-Wan into kind of a corner where it's, here's my choice.
Yeah.
Watch, like, basically I'm here just to watch over Luke Skywalker, and that's what he's doing.
Yeah, because he knows Leia's being watched, obviously, by the Organas, mm-hmm. So his job is to protect Luke at all costs, and obviously sets up, you know, that he's going to start training, you know, to see Force ghosts. You know, which Yoda, you know...
Took you long enough. You know, by the way, full spoilers for Obi-Wan. Full. We're going to go through the entire show, things we like, things we didn't like, favorite moments, mm-hmm. and obviously how it ends and what we want to see. So there's your spoiler warning. So let's go character by character.
Absolutely.
We'll start with, obviously, Ewan McGregor's returning as Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's no secret that we are big fans of Obi-Wan Kenobi and Ewan McGregor.
I'm a huge Ewan McGregor fan. I think
he's only getting
such
better.
Such an underrated actor, and I agree. At this point, like anything he does, I will see.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's that good.
He's right very now. Versatile. He can do a lot of different things. And Obi-Wan is like the character. Yeah. They really do a good job.
And it's funny because if you look at his career, look at where he began with like Trainspotting and you know the old Danny Boyle film Shallow Grave,
The Island.
No, was he in the island? Oh, that's right. That's Michael Bay
with Scarlett Johansson.
I forgot about that movie.
Yeah, I love that movie.
But I mean, when he was cast as Obi-Wan, he wasn't a big star,
no.
But, I mean, talk about your range, going from Star Wars, those early movies, to Moulin Rouge. Mm-hmm. And he was fantastic in Moulin Rouge. This guy can sing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, and then he does the other two Star Wars films, and he's in a bunch of other stuff. I loved Christopher Robin.
Oh, yeah,
he was great in that. So, yeah, I love Ewan McGregor. And when it was announced that he was coming back for this, I was like, sign me up. I'm all in.
Yep. I'm with you on that one. I really do enjoy him. And he brings a lot to Obi-Wan's broken in this.
Yes.
We never got to see the real ramifications of what happened to him. And basically, he is already a hermit. He's living in a cave, watching over Luke Skywalker. Owen Lars doesn't want him anywhere near him. So he's never actually technically met Luke as a kid.
And even Alec Guinness in New Hope, you don't get the sense that he's a broken man. He's just old, you know, and he's basically delegated himself to watching over Luke, and that's all he does. You definitely see it in this, as you said. This man is, he has nothing.
And I think there are some very powerful acting moments with Ewan McGregor. And the first time we really see it is when he finds out from Reva that Darth Vader is still alive. Because
he has no clue.
They establish very quickly that the Empire has a presence on Tatooine, but it's not like, there's no Imperial outpost there. Yeah. It's not as big. Even in A New Hope, there's only a couple of troopers around. Because even
when the droids show up at the farm, I think there's a line where Luke says, you know, the Empire really doesn't come out here.
Yeah, it's an Outer Rim territory. So it makes sense that he is completely disconnected from all of it, because he's also trying to keep a low profile. You see him, he's working as like a meat cutter, and he watches all these things happen. And one of the best lines is, the key to hunting Jedi is patience, and it's their compassion for others that, like, you know, is their undoing or whatever it is. I'm probably paraphrasing. But it's hard watching Obi-Wan not be a good guy, and you could see it's taking a toll on him. And then when he finds out that not only is Vader alive, but that first confrontation, oh, man. Well,
I love the scene where he finds out Anakin's alive, and he says his name, and then cut right to him in the tank.
Getting all the equipment put on, Oh, so good.
With the breathing, just...
Yeah. Oh, well, so that's also when Reva gave away who she was by calling him Anakin Skywalker.
See, I didn't catch that. I could have believed that she knew that Anakin, or he had told, I don't know. I knew something was coming with Reva. I didn't expect where it went.
Yeah, we'll talk about Reva in a minute. But so let's talk about Vader. Vader does return, played by Hayden Christensen, and James Earl Jones does the voice still. But they do a great job at, not only is Darth Vader terrifying, like, he's like a horror movie monster.
When he goes into the little village and he's just snapping
and he's just joking people around, oof.
I mean, he snaps that kid's neck.
Yeah.
I mean, that kid's
dead.
Dead. And I'm like, okay.
I am so glad that they did not PG Darth Vader.
No, they did not hold back.
The problem with a lot of movies and TV shows are, if a villain is very popular, they try and redeem that villain and make them a good guy.
They already did that at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, that's fair.
We don't need that now.
We don't need that now. But this is like peak Vader. This is terrifying. Darth Vader, head of the Imperial Army, scary. This is Rogue One Vader.
Yes.
Oh, man, that scene in Rogue One. But the first confrontation with the two of them is fantastic. You know,
because Ben is still Obi-Wan is still not all there in terms of the Force abilities.
He cuts himself off.
Pretty much. And the look on Ewan McGregor's face when he sees Vader for the first time. And he goes, what have you become?
And Vader says, I am what you made me. It's awesome. Chills. And somebody else pointed out that the reason he lit up his lightsaber wasn't to fight. It was because it was too dark for him to see. Because we see him actually go out to the desert and get his lightsaber.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't used it in years. He hasn't used the Force in years. They say 10 years since the end of Revenge of the Sith. So at this point, even the Jedi are now becoming just myth. Like, people know of them, and there are still some around, and we do see what happens to Jedi in this with the Inquisitors, but it's a really nice bridge from the end, because it's hard to think in A New Hope that it's only been 20 years since Revenge of the Sith, and you're kind of sitting there going, after you watch it, you're like, so an entire order of peacekeeping space wizards people just kind of forgot about in 20 years. Now, I'm sure the Empire, like, combed the entire galaxy and was like, we got to get rid of everything about the Jedi. I could see that. That's totally well within the Emperor's mentality, but it's still fun. Like, because Luke knows about the Clone Wars. He asked Ben in A New Hope. He's like, you served in the Clone Wars? So people knew of the Clone Wars, and he says, you know, I was a Jedi Knight like your father. So I'm sure there are people that still know at that point. It's just, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Just timeline wise.
So
Darth Vader though, man. Oof.
You know what? In they have not done him wrong in any of the things he's appeared in since the last time we saw him at the end of Revenge of the Sith. Some people made fun of, you know, the first time you hear James Earl Jones' voice when he screams Padme, and it just seemed a little
Or he screams
like,
no.
No, it just seemed a little like,
And
okay.
then the dad jokes in Rogue One.
Yeah.
Be careful not to choke on your ambition. Yeah, that one was rough, but like, again, making Darth Vader into a malevolent force. Like, he was like Michael Myers with a lightsaber.
Pretty much.
Like, just terrifying. And the fact that they were able to have him be so physical, too, at the same time. Because that's the other thing. Like, you know, obviously, you got whoever. I think Hayden Christensen was in the suit for a lot of it. But obviously, there's stunt work involved. So, you know, who was in the Vader suit in the original? David Prowse?
David Prowse.
Like, yes. He didn't move around nearly as much in the first movie.
No.
And that was more technology-based with the lightsaber.
It was also, he's just, yeah, very, you know, at that time, they couldn't do what they were able to do with the lightsabers later on. But.
And then Empire, he and Luke have a full-on fight in Bespin.
But even still, he's stiff. He's not like, you know, really. And I think Hayden Christensen did a good job in with
incorporating
this,
both.
Incorporating both that, yes, he can still kind of move, but there are.
He's more of a tank in this. Yes. Like when he fights Obi-Wan in that first fight, he's holding that lightsaber with one hand and just bashing. Like he is no flips, no Jedi flips, no things like that. Even when they have their rematch, he's like, even Ewan McGregor, Obi-Wan, like he's just doing like some basic rolls, nothing, no flips, no Jedi jumps,
yeah,
nothing like
Revenge
that.
This isn't Revenge of the Sith lightsaber fight. This isn't, you know, we didn't get that, but what we got was well worth it.
It is probably, I would say that the Vader Obi-Wan rematch is one of the best lightsaber fights in the series.
I will not disagree with that. And that is my favorite moment in the entire series when he slices open the helmet.
Oh, it's so good.
And you hear a mixture of Hayden Christensen and a little, not much, a little bit of the robotic voice with James Earl Jones.
It chills.
Yeah.
And the music and the dialogue makes sense. And it makes sense to why Ben Kenobi tells Luke Skywalker, Vader killed your father.
Yeah.
Like, because he says it. He's like, you didn't kill Anakin Skywalker. I did. Yeah. And it's a great, great line. And just the fact, yeah, you see Hayden Christensen in all the makeup and like everything looked great in this show.
They made him look a lot like the actor in the end of Jedi. Basically the egghead and, you know, the scarring and all that stuff.
I am mildly disappointed though that when he was burying Obi-Wan alive, he didn't say, "Now I have the high ground." That was the one thing we were waiting for.
That would have been fan service because at this point that's become a joke now with the whole higher ground thing. Yep. But I'm okay with them not doing that.
All right, so let's go through some of these other cast members because it's not a big cast.
No,
it's very contained. We have Rupert Friend, I guess, as the Grand Inquisitor. As the Grand Inquisitor. Now,
I don't know anything about the Grand Inquisitors. Do you know much about this?
So here's what pisses me off. The Grand Inquisitor was in Star Wars Rebels, so he survived. He had to have survived Obi-Wan. Because Star Wars Rebels is in continuity. So as soon as Reva stabs him in the beginning, I was like, he's not, he can't be dead.
Yeah.
Like, it's still in continuity. But I thought
continuity.
It was. Dang it, you got me with that one. That was a solid callback. But I enjoyed him for what he was. That's who he was much more fleshed out. He was voiced by Jason Isaacs in
the Rebels.
In Rebels, yeah. Sure.
Like, well, I just saw a picture of Rupert Friend. I mean, I would never have known it was him in that makeup.
Oh, they do. They do
I didn't
a good
know
job
that was
it.
Han. The Who? Other, the third brother or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought you meant Han Solo. I was like,
no, like Han from Fast and Furious.
Yep. Sung Kang plays the fifth brother.
Fifth brother.
Yep. So the Inquisitors are, they're basically Darth Vader's Force-sensitive Jedi hunters. And they do a lot of stuff with them, like in Star Wars Jedi Order, the video game with Cameron Monaghan in it. The Inquisitors are in that. They're talking about doing it. I wanted to see that cameo, have him cameo as Cal Kestis. I thought that would have been a lot of fun because now they're talking about a live action show with him because obviously the character is based off the actor and that makes it easy. I really wanted Sam Witwer to come in as Darth Maul.
Ooh.
Because like he does a very good job, but unfortunately Star Wars Rebels set up a lot of continuity that they can't just disregard completely. Yeah. But let's see. Now Moses Ingram as Reva Savander / the third sister. Now I would have been okay with a Reva show as opposed to having all this story in Obi-Wan.
So again, character-wise, was she...
Nobody. She was made up for the show.
She was made up for the show. Okay.
But
I kind of guessed.
Yeah.
And you knew early on, at least I knew, that, again, there was some history
The way she talked to them.
The way she talked to Obi-Wan when she was going after him, the way she was just like persistent on, you know, catching Obi-Wan. I was like, okay. And of course, the show opens up with Order 66, and you see, you don't actually see him killing the young friends,
yeah.
But you didn't know it was her at the time, but you assume that those kids don't make it.
So between this and Stranger Things, there's been so many warnings about graphic violence.
Yeah.
A terrible time for all that stuff to be coming out, but it is rough to watch that Order 66 stuff.
No.
The Order 66 stuff was always tough, even in, like, even Revenge of the Sith.
No.
But even, like, in Star Wars Clone Wars and the Rebels and all that stuff, they do reference it a lot. Because some of those clones, like, it was programmed into them, right? We tend to forget that, because I really wish they'd done a flashback to Anakin and Obi-Wan during the Clone Wars, because there's years of fighting that they do in the wars with these troopers, and, like, you know, they give the troopers names and stuff. Like, it's a lot. So I really would have liked to see a little bit more with the Order 66 stuff, but it did not disappoint in this. So you find out towards the end that Reva, the reason she's trying to become Grand Inquisitor is so she can get close enough to Vader to kill him. So we find out that she was one of the younglings who was presumed dead by Vader. Like, Anakin Skywalker himself killed her.
Yeah.
And she talks about how she thought he was there to save them. Like, you know, he's walking in with all, and they do a great job showing it. And say what you will about some of the more wonky de-aging in this, when they do the scene of Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen sparring,
that was tough.
It was rough.
Ewan McGregor looks younger than Hayden Christensen.
Yes.
They didn't like even try with Hayden Christensen. You could tell he was.
I think they thought he was still young enough looking.
Not for the Padawan. If they had the long hair from Revenge of the Sith,
mm-hmm.
maybe put, like, you know, the scar on him, I could have believed a little more.
Yeah.
But when you put the Padawan, you know, ponytail on him, I was like, come on, guys.
That was a little much. that's like having Jake Lloyd play him.
Been 20 years, dude. Let's go.
Yeah, I think it would have been...
It was still a great scene because it was...
It paralleled
to what was going to happen.
Beautifully.
And it really... And I loved, you know, again, getting the Attack of the Clones look for Ewan McGregor back was mm-hmm. fun. It was a nice little nod back to that, you know, that time period for that movie. And it just shows, again, like, the brotherhood those two had.
Right.
You know, yes, there was, you know, conflict between them, but it they were brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love the line where he is talking to Leia when he's saying goodbye to her and telling about what he loves about Leia and where she got it from.
Yeah.
You know, you got this from your mother. And then
he says a great line. A
couple more lines and he goes, you got that from your father. He's not hiding the fact that Anakin had good in him. And, you know, there were many things about Anakin that will, you know, go on into these kids that will make them great people.
Which is ironic because he was the one who actually lost faith in Anakin in the original trilogy.
Like, yeah.
He's like, he's more machine now than man. He sucks. he cut me in half, guy. Not cool. Going down the list, we have Vivian Lyra Blair as Leia Organa.
Apologize real quick. What did you think of Moses Ingram as Reva? I thought she was great.
I thought she did a great job.
I love the scene where they're talking through the barrier, and that's where Obi-Wan gets her to tell him
what happened. Yeah.
And I also, like, you feel for her, but I mean, like, in a way, she kind of became Vader
mm-hmm.
with what she was doing.
And just, you know, by the means type thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that scene at the end where she's like, have I become him? And he's like, no, because you chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't kill Luke. You didn't do that.
You still killed a lot of people.
You killed a lot of people, and you're going to have to live with that. Now, I'm interested to see if they continue with this character.
I'd be okay seeing her again.
And where do they fit her in? Like, what storyline do they create for her?
I would love to. She can go in The Mandalorian. I think she'd be a good fit there.
Okay.
I think she'd be a really good fit there.
Now, where's the timeline in this between this and Mandalorian?
It's a couple of years after Return of the Jedi.
Okay, so it's another... So she'd have to be...
Another 10, 15 years.
So she'd have to be older, obviously, in Mandalorian.
Yeah, but a little bit of makeup.
I think they could pull that off.
That one's easy.
She's young. It's been 10 years, so you guys say she's at least 18, 19, 20?
Yeah.
She was 10 years old when she was a youngling.
Yeah, I think they can definitely pull that one off. I mean, they got a Rosario Dawson playing an older Ahsoka.
That's true.
I'd be okay with seeing her pop up on The Mandalorian. I think that'd be a fun fit for her. So we have Vivian Lyra Blair as Leia. Or actually, scratch it. We're going to go back really quick to Moses Ingram. If any of our fans, like, apparently there was a big issue with racism towards her. Like, If you don't like an actor or actress because of their performance, that's fine. That's one thing, right? You know, people made fun of Hayden Christensen's very wooden performance. If you don't like a performance, that's fine. Yeah. If you attack a person for something like that, you can unsubscribe to our show. We don't need that. Yeah. But
get out.
Ewan McGregor did a very nice message about it. So come on, Star Wars fans.
But this is also just the world we're living in.
It sucks. You can't just enjoy Star
Seriously,
Wars.
Seriously, there's got to be people who just got to complain about everything and have an issue with whatever they want to have an issue with, and it's disgusting.
So let's talk about something fun. Leia Organa, they nailed the character.
She was fantastic.
I have a lot of thoughts about it. So one, I was not expecting so much Leia at all.
I was not expecting Leia at all either, because they did not tease her at all in the trailers.
We all thought something was going to
happen. It was all about Luke, because you see the scene where he's
watching
running away from Owen, and he's like, you know, pretending he's flying the ship. So I'm like, oh, okay, there's going to be a storyline with Luke. I have no problem with that. But when you see the girl running, and you're like, that's Leia. I'm like, okay, this is going
to
be okay.
It made much more sense to have it focus on Leia, because if the focus is on Luke, then there's no way that Darth Vader wouldn't have gone to Tatooine.
True.
Right? So I have no problem with it. They do a great job with the character of Leia. She is completely in tone. I also think that because Carrie Fisher was supposed to have a much bigger role in Rise of Skywalker. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, due to her untimely death, they had to reshoot, they had to re-edit, they had to cut her in certain ways, and it's noticeable.
Yeah.
Right? It's very noticeable, because we've said it. You know, I can't wait to do Rise of Skywalker next year during our next Star Wars month, because I'm going to...
That means we got to watch the movies.
That means we got to watch. I have not watched it in its entirety since.
I haven't watched any of them in their entirety.
Just The Force Awakens.
Not even that.
I like that one. I'll argue that one.
Well, that's fair.
But I think also they wanted to do Leia because this was their chance to do a full Leia story. And we do get to see some of her Jedi ability. She's still headstrong, stubborn, ready to face torture for Ben Kenobi. Like, ready.
Yeah.
It's shocking.
And she's a little smart aleck. I love that scene with her cousin, and she just goes off.
Oh, she destroys him. Kid wasn't even ready. But any other thoughts on Leia? Because she's more of what's propelling the story.
She's the plot device. She is basically what is bringing Obi-Wan back into
the fold,
what's getting him out of hiding. And I loved that they obviously brought back Jimmy Smith as Bail Organa. You meet the mother for the first time. You see her like in passing in the end of Revenge of the Sith. So I like that because, you know, obviously the Empire is taking control. I'm assuming Organa is...
He's still a senator.
He's not obviously fighting the Empire. He's kind of, I guess, going through the motions, you know, but he obviously is not... He doesn't like...
Don't we see him in Rogue One as part of the Rebel Alliance?
I can't remember. It's been a long time since I've seen Rogue One.
I want to say we do.
But, you know, obviously he's going through the motions with what he has to deal with the Empire, and he reaches out. He has, you know, you have this little device that they've been utilizing that, you know Obi-Wan has hidden. And, you know, he's like, you're the only one I trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are the only one I know of who could find her. So I love that was the plot device used to bring Obi-Wan back into the story. So I was very happy with that. And as I said before, I was extremely shocked when Leia was going to be a part of the story, because I had no idea that was coming.
Right.
And I love when I have no idea when something's coming.
It's always nice. And yes, he was in Rogue One.
He was? Yeah. Okay.
But, yeah, I really do feel like we missed so much with Leia. Like, especially in the newer trilogy, because again, that was their plan. Every movie was supposed to focus on one of those. It was supposed to be Han Solo as a focus, Luke Skywalker, and then Leia. But unfortunately, just great in concept, terribly executed, terribly. But that's just our two cents. We have Kumail Nanjiani. I think I got it, as Haja, a fake con artist Jedi.
We've loved this guy ever since Franklin Bash.
Oh my God,
he was great in that. And I'm not gonna lie, when I saw him when the scene popped up and it was him, and I was like, okay, I know this guy's gonna be the comedic relief. So he's obviously not a Jedi. So it was funny, you know. And he comes back, he's like a good guy.
I feel like there was a scene or two missing.
It kind of felt at the end there. I was like, okay, I feel like there should have been more with him. Just, you know, he really didn't do much at the end there. I mean, he was just that funny scene where he's like, Leia, you done? Not yet. And he's just, you know, he's comedic value. He's the comedic, you know.
On a show that got really sad and depressing.
Yeah,
and very dark.
But there was a good scene between him and Obi-Wan where it's like, why do you trust me? He goes, you know, and Obi-Wan's just like, I can see it in you that you're good.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that, you know. Good little appearance, nothing crazy. You know, he's probably I don't know if he's a diehard Star Wars fan in real life.
I wouldn't be surprised,
sure.
But this is also like he's like a poster boy for a lot of stuff right now. Like
yes.
when Eternals was coming out, everybody was talking about him and how shredded he got. Like was a big, he got ripped for it. Didn't even take his shirt off too in it. Crazy. But and so popular that his character was actually mentioned on Ms. Marvel 2 weeks ago, which I don't know if you're watching Ms. Marvel. It's not bad. It's not bad. Now we have a character that I really liked and I was really sad about her going. Indira Varma as Tala.
Yeah.
She was, again, a very interesting idea that there were people in the Empire that were like, this isn't what I signed up for. I thought I was helping people. Like and that's the thing. Like even Han Solo, like he signs up to be a pilot and he ends up being a grunt on the ground. He's like, this isn't what I'm here for. I'm not here to kill people. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. Like, you know, it makes you wonder how many people, because we never got to see the Empire in its full glory. We've gotten to see it more in more recent years with this, Rogue One, and just kind of how the Empire itself works. And I always found it interesting because it's basically a dictatorship government. Like, yeah,
it's kind of like the Nazis in a way. You know, it's the same concept. That's what George Lucas based it on.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, interesting to see finally, you know, you kind of see, you obviously see Finn. What's the name of the in the new trilogy, the stormtrooper that turns good? Why am I blanking on his name?
Oh, yeah, Finn. You're
Finn, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, that's how much I remember these movies. But Finn is, you know, is a stormtrooper, is disillusioned, and, you know, he's like, why am I doing this?
He was taken as a child. Yeah.
It's like, this is what, you know, and then there's a lot of people who, before the Empire took over and were good people and thought this was the way to go. And, you know, as she said it, it's like, I killed people and... You know, I can live that down.
Padme says it when, you know, the Emperor first, like, takes over. He's like, this is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause. It's a great line. But, yeah, people were excited. They're like, all right, yeah, you know, Palpatine just led us through this. And then the Jedi tried to kill him for it. Because that's what he does. He makes the Jedi look like they tried to assassinate him.
Yeah.
And I think in the novel, I think I mentioned it during our Revenge of the Sith episode. In the novel, he actually records that conversation where, you know, he says, are you threatening me, Master Jedi? And that's one of the things he uses as propaganda. Like, the Jedi were out to kill him. So it's interesting. It's really interesting. And Tala was a great character and a badass. And she went out like a hero.
Yes.
Like, obviously, the problem with shows like this or movies like this even, you know what the stakes are to the point, right? You know that Obi-Wan can't die. Darth Vader can't die.
Luke and Leia
can't die. So where's the tension? You introduce a character like Tala who's awesome, and then you have her sacrifice herself for the greater good. And it makes you wonder, like, because she's working for the Path, which is trying to get Jedi to safety, which is, again, a great concept, and I would love to hear more about
Jedi sympathizers, all any of that.
We have O'Shea Jackson Jr. as Colin Roken. I think they just call him Roken during it. And he's another person helping Jedi escape, and I enjoyed his character. I'd love to see more of him.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like... Obi-Wan Kenobi's very good at making friends, and that's like part of his charm. So I want to see more. I really, really do. But then some of our other co-stars, we have Joel Egerton returning as Owen Lars. I thought he was only going to be in that first episode. I'm glad he got
I'm glad they got a little more at the end of the final episode.
He tried to fight Reva with like a stick. And like
I love the scene where Beru, like,
we're gonna talk about Beru, yeah.
You know, fine. I like that Beru got some stuff to do in this as well.
Played by Bonnie Peace.
Bonnie Peace.
Both of them reprising their roles from Revenge of the Sith.
She had absolutely nothing to do in Attack of the Clones.
I don't even know if she had lines.
You're right. I don't know.
I think she just said hello.
Yeah, maybe.
Poured some blue milk. That's about it. But yeah, when she takes out the guns, she's like, all right, we knew this was gonna happen.
Well, I love this. I was like, wait, yeah, Obi-Wan's gone. It's like,
whose fault is that? You did this. You did this. So. It was pretty good. We mentioned Jimmy Smith's flea from the Foo Fighters.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Excuse me.
Because like, you recognize that face obviously from the band and obviously from Back to the Future. And I'm like, is that Flea? Like, I haven't seen him in anything, you know, in forever. So it was just interesting to see him in that first two episodes.
As far as cameos go, we do have Ian McDermott and...
That was good.
And Liam Neeson reprising their roles. We waited. We knew it was going to happen with Liam Neeson. But having the Emperor do his...
The Emperor was a good one.
That was a good one.
I I will say I was kind of hoping for a Samuel L. Jackson cameo. Maybe he survived. We never...
That would have been fun, yeah.
But, yeah.
There were a few cameos. Temuera Morrison, who plays Boba Fett in The Clones, he does a cameo as a clone trooper.
Who's like homeless and, you know, yep. Homeless vet.
Because in Star Wars continuity, they really started to phase the clone troopers out after the Empire took over. That was a big push. And there was only like a handful of them left by the time A New Hope rolls around. So there are stories about that. You can watch like The Bad Batch, or I think they did a couple of things with it. But always, again, another interesting concept. Like, what do you do with clones after you're done with the Clone Wars?
Yeah.
And I mean, they're all specialized warriors too, which is even funnier.
So now with the Liam Neeson cameo, is that, we assume, the first time he's actually ever seen Qui-Gon as a Force ghost?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Might even be the first time he's ever seen a Force ghost.
Well, that's when I was like, because I mean, the way they make it sound at the end of a Sith is like, you're going to see Qui-Gon right away, and he's going to train you to, you know...
Well, it makes you wonder, because, like, Yoda's like, training for you, I have, yeah. You know, and, you know, he tells him, you know, this would... But Obi-Wan completely cuts himself off from the Force and True. Doesn't do any training.
So, you're right.
Interesting. All right, so those are all the characters and a lot of the plot. Let's talk about...
Would you have liked a Yoda cameo in it at some
No.
point? You ever know? Okay. I'm just curious.
I already saw my Yoda cameo with Rise of Skywalker, or The Last Jedi. And that was one of the highlights of the movie.
That was the highlight of the movie.
That's fair. There's one or two other highlights in that movie, okay. I'll argue. But I'm good. And also with Baby Yoda on The Mandalorian, like, I've got my Yoda fill.
Okay.
I'd rather see some characters. So I would have even enjoyed some really obscure characters. Some like just.
I was kind of hoping like there would have been some in the freezing the chamber where they were freezing the people.
Mm-hmm.
I would have hoped to have seen like a cameo or something of someone we didn't expect.
Yeah, they can have some fun with stuff like that. So
I was insane that was what they were doing with people.
Oh yeah, I think there was one or two in there that were actually Star Wars characters or like known characters. But I would have loved even like you could have had the Mandalorian cameo I don't know, Sean. You've not watched any of it.
I watched the first episode.
The Mandalorian, like the actual character Din Djarin, he was rescued by the Mandalorians during the Clone Wars when his settlement was attacked by battle droids. So like he was alive, and obviously he's. Full-grown adults at the end of the show. I would have been okay with a Mandalorian cameo, an Ahsoka cameo. Again, they have to be careful because they've already done a lot of this stuff on Rebels. Like, Ahsoka and Darth Vader have their confrontation in Rebels. So, they gotta watch their continuity. That's why it's easier to do things like The Mandalorian, which take place between episode 6 and 7. Like, because you have a lot more leeway to do stuff like that. But... let's see. So favorite moments. I know we talked about a couple of them. Any other favorite moments that jump out to you? The music was on point.
Well, music is always on point. Mm-hmm. I have to give it that. Obviously, the ending battle between Vader and Obi-Wan. I loved the scene where Reva tries to attack Darth Vader. And he just sees it. He knows it's coming. He's like, I knew all along that you were planning to kill me. Like, and then obviously the Grand Inquisitor walks out and you're like, wow, they just played her. Like, absolutely played her. And, you know...
makes you wonder how long they knew.
Because
he calls her Padawan.
Yeah, so... I don't know. Like, did he knowingly bring her in and was just going to try and groom her and see if she would turn? I don't know, but... I loved the scene where where Obi-Wan gives himself up and to Reva and he whispers, you know, I'm bringing him to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see her kind of her face a little
light. Realize up. What was going on.
So that was good. Obviously, any scenes between Leia and Obi-Wan were great. It's like that father-daughter, like, you know, not really, but like, you know, you could tell like Obi-Wan's like, wow, you were so your mother. It's
She's just like her. Yeah. I mean, for me, like, obviously the big battles are highlights because they're not just fights. Mm-hmm. They're battles and they're also, they got emotional stakes and they are just like... lightsaber fights have been very strange because, you know, we have the original trilogy where the first lightsaber fight we ever see is Obi-Wan and Darth Vader, and it's very simple. It's very back and forth. It's almost like Darth Vader toying with him because he's an old man. Empire and Return of the Jedi, we have much better lightsaber scenes just because the technology caught up to the anticipation.
Another 3 years plus.
Then you get the original trilogy where... the prequel trilogy, where the Jedi are at the peak of their power. The most powerful the Jedi Order has arguably been. And yeah, it's flips, it's jumps, it's force technique, it's fast, it's like
so good
dueling. And then you have the new trilogy where lightsaber fights are more aggressive and less less finesse to them. They're very just like, they're almost like baseball bat fighting, which again, it makes sense given where they are. They don't, you know, Rey and Finn didn't really have formal training, but mm-hmm. they, and Kylo Ren is just a beast. So it always made sense, but it's nice to see a nice balance of all these different styles of lightsaber fighting, basically in one or two battles. And yeah, the Reva fight is fantastic with Darth Vader just toying with her.
And this is, this is peak Vader. Mm-hmm. This is Vader at his probably strongest.
I mean, physically.
You see it in Rogue One, obviously. And not so much, though, in New Hope. I mean, he's basically...
He's on the sidelines.
He's basically...
He's giving out orders.
He's Tarkin's bodyguard.
Yeah.
So, like, I thought the scene, obviously, where Obi-Wan gets the upper hand and leaves him on that planet, I was like, okay, this is where the Emperor loses faith in him and... basically delegates him to being, you know, to Tarkin's bodyguard.
Go wait on the Death Star.
Which you don't see because they had that scene between him and the Emperor and Vader's pissed. He's like, I will find him and the Emperor's just like,
why?
Why are you bothering with him?
Yeah.
Like, is this gonna be a problem?
Mm-hmm.
And you could see Vader's like, all right, I gotta let this go. And that's it. And that's why, you know, nothing. You know, there's no attempt we're assuming, obviously, we don't know if there'll be a second season of this show. But if not, now we know why, you know, it's been 10 years since the two of them have seen each other, which makes sense.
So let's say there is a second season. Is there anything you would want to see in it?
See, I will tell you this. When the show first started and after the first two episodes, I was like, they can't get all this in six episodes. They got to have a second season because I was like, six. Six is just... it's not enough, and they're only 40 minutes long. So I was like, second season. But the way the show ended...
I'm okay if they don't.
I thought it wrapped everything up in a nice bow. Having Qui-Gon at the very end, I was like, you know what? I'm good.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm afraid if they do a second season, what could they do? Because there's no... you can't have Vader.
Right.
Because, again, if you're going to mess up the continuity of the franchise, it clearly says, last time, you know... I saw you, you know, I am now the master. It just doesn't fit.
I'd be okay with a Darth Vader series.
I'd be okay with that.
Unfortunately, I don't know if they would be able to do a series following an antagonist. It's Disney. I don't think they'd be able to do it.
I think Disney has grown a pair, especially with Disney Plus.
I'd be curious.
When you're okay with Daredevil, and again, we'll wait and see what they end up doing with the character, mm-hmm. same thing, because we've yet to hear about Punisher.
They're never going to do Punisher.
So
I guarantee. As much as people want...
When are they going to do a Deadpool movie?
It's in production, apparently.
So I will give you that. Until I see how they handle... because even Charlie Cox came out and said, we could do Daredevil PG-13. Dude, shut up.
Yeah, no. No, that's not what we saw that for.
So I will agree with you that Disney has to prove that they can do it. I think they could do it with Darth Vader, but after what I saw in... this, where that scene where he's just killing people, obviously you're not going to go over the top. And
yeah, but could we do that every episode is the question.
Depends on the story.
Because I don't want a Darth Vader...
I agree with
struggling
you.
...struggling with good versus evil. Like, we're past that.
You're right. No, totally agree. Totally agree. You can't have a feel-good moment in between all this evil. Mm-hmm. There's just no way. So, I don't know. I don't know if they could do it. Again, it depends on the story. It depends on that. Same thing with a second season for Obi-Wan. I don't know where they could go.
Really cool? If they were to do a Darth Vader series, but jump around in the timeline. So, like, let's say the first season of Darth Vader takes place right after Obi-Wan,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, establishing, and then they do a second season where it takes place between A New Hope and Empire. Like, something along those lines.
Okay, after the Death Star explodes, what happens in those?
Yep, how he finds out who Luke Skywalker is.
Okay.
And then a third season of him, you know, in between. Like, they could do a lot of fun with that.
All right.
Like, you remember Shadows of the Empire, right?
Yes.
I would love to see that as a show. That'd be great.
I would love to see Force Unleashed as a show. Yeah.
Shadows of the Empire takes place between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
Yeah, that's now, that in continuity.
What about Galactic Empire, or is that Galactic a show? Empire.
It sounds familiar, but
there was another either game or computer game, I can't remember, that everybody wanted them to make something out of. But I'm telling you, this is the future of the Star Wars franchise. I think
Disney Plus is the way to go.
I'll be shocked if they do another movie.
Yeah, and I'm fine with it. I'd even be okay if they did Disney Plus on some of the newer characters that were introduced. Show us what Rey's going to be up to after this. I have no problem with the character of Rey or Finn or Poe. I think just the stories that were built around them just weren't that good. But I would love to see Rey creating a Jedi Order, because they never really did a lot of the stuff after the Skywalkers. Like, after Luke and Leia and Han and all of them, they never really did a lot of expanded universe past that. So I'd be down to see something like that.
That's fair.
But I think that's pretty much going to wrap us up. Well, Star City rating on Obi-Wan.
I'll give it a four.
I'm right there with you. I think a four is just a solid, solid. It's what I expected. It had its a fair amount of surprises, though, too. So I'm good with it. But yeah, four. Definitely a four. So
I've never seen it. And don't go crazy on me. Would you compare this, not obviously in the terms of what happens in the movie, but would you kind of compare this to like Logan in that kind of storyline?
A little bit, yeah. It's very like end of Obi-Wan's kind. Yeah, I it's got Logan vibes to it.
Not in terms of violence, but like just that kind of feel.
That old Western riding off into he literally rides off into the sunset.
That's true.
So Fan Feedback Friday did involve a Star City ratings for Obi-Wan, and the general consensus, we got 3, 4, 4, and 3. So not bad.
Not bad.
I will take it. So
again, it's I mean, I don't really take stock in social media, but like it's been very mixed when I read, you know, people's reactions to the show. People think the acting was horrible. People think the script was horrible. I'm like, I don't know what you're expecting, but nothing about this seemed like it was bad, in my opinion. I didn't feel anything was poorly done. I thought this was, again, and correct me if I'm wrong, is Hayden Christensen going to be in the Ahsoka TV show?
I think so.
Okay. I don't know how much he's going to be in it, but...
Well, let's also not forget it. I think it takes place after Return of the Jedi, so...
Oh, it's after Jedi.
Yeah, because Ahsoka cameos during The Mandalorian and all that, so... I mean, that would make sense.
So, I loved the fact that they got Hayden Christensen back. I thought that was fantastic. I love seeing the two of the characters together, because again, you either got the end of Sith or the 5-10 minutes that they're together in New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
So just to get that where he sees Vader for the first time, because he's never seen him. He thought he was dead. I just thought Ewan McGregor he sold that so well,
good.
That he's just like, what happened? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry. And he's like, you didn't do this.
This is all me, man. This is all me.
And it really hit all the bells I was hoping it would hit.
Mm-hmm.
It really did. I was not disappointed at all.
I'd be okay if Ewan McGregor comes back as a Force ghost in one of these shows.
That would be cool.
I'd be fine with it. Because in all honesty, it's kind of hard to imagine this Obi-Wan aging to Alec Guinness level in 10 years.
That was like, I guess you could say that's my only gripe. It's like, really, you expect in 10 years that he's going to look like Alec Guinness and... Brew and Owen are going to look like they did in New Hope.
Obviously.
You know, they could have aged them a little more, mm-hmm. maybe. Just, you know, maybe put a little more gray or a little more whatever on them.
That's fine.
Again, it's not the end of the world.
Not at all. All right, so that's going to wrap us up. So thank you guys for listening. Don't forget, if you want more of our content, you can check out our website, themisfitfaction.com. You can also find us on any social media, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter. Basically type in Misfit Faction, and there's a fair chance you're going to find one of us there. So this is going to wrap us up, as I said. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Sean.
And we'll be back next time.
Have a good one.
May the Force be with you.
And also with you.
Amen.